There are familiar sayings about age. You're only as old as you feel. Age is just a number. To those, AARP CEO Joanne Jenkins would like to add a two-word phrase, disrupt aging. It's the title of her new book. She's in Honolulu this weekend for the Book and Music Festival, and she's in our studio today. Hello there. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
When we talk about attitudes toward aging, that's one thing, and that's going to be a long time in being able to shift. But more immediately, we have some very real concerns that are coming out of Washington. Clearly, you're based there, and you've been walking the hill and talking to a lot of the folks in Congress. As you look at it now, and given the fact that so much of what happens in Hawaii is dependent on those Medicaid dollars, what do you see for us in our future?
Well, certainly we are monitoring the situation and participating in our advocacy efforts in Washington. The House passed bill of ACHA day before yesterday really causes us great concern. We actually think it's worse than the bill that the House had Republicans had put forth just a couple weeks earlier. And it's so critical, particularly as so many Americans are growing older and living longer, that we have to have basic safeguards in place, particularly with relationship to access to health care. And obviously, Medicaid is a big part of keeping so many people out of poverty. And here in Hawaii, that's sort of accelerated because of the increased longevity of people living longer and healthier here in Hawaii, but causing great concern, not just here, but across the country about how detrimental this particular bill would be for older Americans and how the cost of health care would older Americans would be bearing the brunt of these additional changes that are being put forth in this bill. So
in Hawaii, it may not just be older Americans who are bearing those costs because we have multi-generational families. We have the greatest longevity of any of the other states. So for us, it seems to be we get hit with a double whammy, if you will, because somebody is going to have to pick up the care, plus the fact that we are geographically remote from each other, island to island, and all services are not available everywhere.
Well, that's certainly a particular emphasis and focus here in Hawaii. We know that the large number of people who will be affected by this will be older Americans. And if you listen to the rhetoric coming out of House Republicans, it is that they're trying to bring down the cost for younger people who are healthier. But the truth of the matter is it's going to cost all of us more money, and that we need to be working together, Republican, Democrat, across the aisles with all of us to try to come up with workable solutions that really puts the American people first and moves us out of the party politics, because health care and access to care is so important for all of us to live healthier lives.
As you heard U.S. Senator from Hawaii, Maisie Hirono, say a little earlier this morning that once this gets to the Senate, it's going to be a very different situation than what we saw this week with the House. But as far as you're concerned, there's nothing about this bill that could in any way, shape, or form pass muster with you.
Well, we know that the Senate has said they will start from scratch. We also know that they have decided, the head of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, has said that they will use the budget reconciliation process, which means that they have to have the CBO score before they start taking actions. And so we will be looking to the Senate and trying to work with them to make sure that the issues of pre-existing conditions are put forth that was in the ACA and bringing down the cost of prescription drugs, as well as having access to have your younger kids on your health insurance plan. They're up to age 26. All of these things are so important. Why AARP was so supportive of the ACA when it started. But we know that the Senate operates in a different manner than the House, and so they will be running through also the Byrd Amendment, which makes it which means that they will have to go through a separate process in order to reach a bill to the floor. The Byrd Amendment calls for those things that are only related to the budgeting process can go through. It's in order to have a 51-49 vote in order for a bill to pass. And so we see it as a very different approach than what the House has taken. And already they've announced that they have a working group that's starting from scratch to build out a budget on this.
beyond health care, direct health care, there's also the issue of caregiving. And that is becoming a greater and greater issue for every one of us, because as we've been told over and over again, chances are that we are either going to be a caregiver or we're going to need a caregiver. Either way, you're talking about understanding what that means and certain other accommodations for all of that. As you go and talk to congressmen and women, do they understand what's happening with Americans, older Americans, and their families when it comes to caregiving?
Well, I would say that the good thing is that whether you're talking to Senate or House members, Democrat or Republican, they all have their own caregiving story of either taking care of a spouse or a loved one or a parent. And we've been able over the last couple of years to raise the visibility of the need for us as a country to think about the future of caregiving and caregivers, the information and access to resources that caregivers are going to need. But it is true that, as you said, you're either going to be a caregiver or need a caregiver. And our latest estimates is that a family non-paid caregiver provides services that would amount to over $450 billion annually if, in fact, those family members were being paid. And so we are certainly trying to work not only at the national level but at the state level to really try to work with the legislatures to give some kind of relief for caregivers. And Hawaii seems to be leading the way in this effort of really at least taking the first steps to look at how some kind of financial assistance and relief could be provided to caregivers in the bill
about
that they
passed. About the care bill, yes, that just passed. So there would be a $70 per day stipend if that money, in fact, can be found to be able to give,
yes,
to families so that people can stay working and maybe have somebody else take grandmom to the doctor or take,
yes,
grandpop to something else or whatever it may be, and you don't have to have so much of a bite taken out of a working life. As we look at this in the fullness of this, we need to remember that we have, what, about 154,000 caregivers in Hawaii. This affects a lot of people, and it will continue to affect more as we all continue to age. Is there a next step that you think has to happen at a federal level that would be able to take this further than what maybe states may be able to do on their own, despite the fact that, you know, we are living in the era, at least in our state, of blue state federalism, and looking at how we're going to move forward? What do you think has to happen if they, in fact, appreciate caregiving?
Well, we're certainly trying to work in a bipartisan way to get and have received a number of support from members on both sides of the aisle to really raise this issue about the needs of caregivers, to try to come up with a national strategy for the country on how to address this issue. And as you said, this longevity, the fastest growing age group in the country is people over the age of 85. And the second is over the age of 100. And so how do we address this idea that we're going to have 4 and 5 generations of families living at the same time in the communities, and how do we provide the appropriate level of support for caregivers? The idea that we're asking family members to provide medical services and support that traditionally would be required by a registered nurse.
Beyond just what may happen at home and with caregiving, you're also talking about having now several generations, 3, 4 generations in a workplace. And to hear a lot of older Americans tell it, older being defined anything as, you know, like 50 and up, which seems in this day and age to be kind of ridiculous to talk about that as older. But still, this sense that it's very different when you're out looking for a job and you're 60. And you may wind up with a boss who's 35, who may have not a lot of real experience, or maybe even a 25-year-old boss who may not have a lot of experience in management. What do you do to disrupt aging in the workplace?
Well, we are actually doing a lot in this area, and many workplaces, including AARP, has 3 and 4 generations working today. And we're also finding that this idea of trying to pit generations against each other really is not something that's going to help either the business or the person who's winning that particular battle. And we're seeing that pairing that younger generation who's probably more technology savvy with that older worker who probably has more business experience and business acumen reliability in the workplace is actually turning out better business outcomes and better solutions in the business community. And we have a report coming out shortly that talks to how important it is to have multiple generations in the workplace at one time. And so the future of work, particularly in areas like Hawaii that has such a shortage of workers, I think you guys have the lowest unemployment rate of any of the states. The idea of this shortage of healthcare workers, of educational resources, this is an opportunity for us as a country to continue to employ older workers as well as younger workers and not pitting them against each other.
We have to leave you in just about a minute, but if there's one thing about disrupting aging that you think we need to firmly take with us and to ruminate about a little bit that we haven't yet heard, what is it?
It's about how do we start changing the conversation about age and how do we value people for who they are, not how old they are. And you said it earlier. I often say, what if we move middle age to 65? Because many of us, I know out of our 38 million members, a large part of them are telling us that they want to continue working well into their 60s and 70s and beyond. And we know that people who have purpose and meaning in their lives and a place to go and things to do live on average 6 to 7 years longer. So,
and they're healthier.
And they're healthier.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to hearing more from you at the Hawaii Book and Music Festival tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Joanne Jenkins is the CEO of AARP. It represents over 37 million Americans and primarily focuses on issues related to aging. She'll be speaking tomorrow at the Book of Music Festival. And if you want to have details about that, just check our Facebook page, The Conversation-Hawaii Public Radio.